Corinthians chapter 15, if you would do so. And we want to study a portion of scripture there tonight for our lesson. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We appreciate all the ladies of this congregation so much for their dedication in serving people who are ill. They so often have administered to people who were in need by way of providing food for them, for funerals and so forth. And once again, for the funeral this Tuesday, they'll be providing the noon meal. And we appreciate Jeanette George so much for organizing that, phoning people and putting it together, and the cooperation and help of each and every one of the ladies that we know can always be counted on. We appreciate every one of you very, very much. Would you bow with me before we look at this passage? Loving Father, we come before thy name. We come giving praise for thy glorious and wonderful word, a light to our feet and a lamp to our pathway. We are so thankful, Father, that you have seen fit to give us thy word, to teach us and to guide us. Help us that we might trust in it and seek to find the treasures that are found therein, that we might have life here and life eternal with thee. We would ask, Father, that you'll be with us as we study tonight this passage of Scripture. Help us to understand and make application to our lives and to be edified and strengthened as a result. It's in Christ's holy name we do pray. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul discusses the resurrection of the dead. Because evidently, according to verse number 12, there were some at Corinth who were asking or saying that there was no resurrection of the dead. And so in this passage, Paul shows that Christ did raise from the dead. He shows that there were many witnesses, even 500 brethren at one time, that saw him raised from the dead. The number of people that he saw with giving evidence and to support the fact that he did raise from the dead. And then he explains that there will be a resurrection of the dead for all of us. He explains how that this resurrection will occur. And he concludes then in the last part of the chapter by pointing out that all will not die, but some are going to be changed at the return of the Lord. And that how that this body is going to be raised from the dead. And then the last part of it, he talks about how that not all are going to sleep. That's from about verse number 51, where he says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, at the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." We who happen to still be alive at his return. "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades," or the old King James says, "grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Do you like to win a victory? Whether it's in a sports contest or an argument with one's husband or wife, we all like to win the victory, don't we? We like to be victorious. Here, the Lord, Paul the Apostle, is promising us a victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. There are a lot of things that can discourage us in life. A lot of things that can discourage us in the work of the Lord. Sometimes it appears that maybe the preaching of the gospel is not of any benefit. You know, we can look around. We can look, what was the 91 here this morning? That was down a little bit from what we had last week. Really, I was happy to see that we had 91 here this morning. So many of our people are away. And tonight, we're down probably closer to that 50 mark. You know, sometimes we elders look at the small number that comes on Sunday night and Wednesday night in comparison to those that come on Sunday morning. And, you know, if you begin to study that and look at it and wonder why more people don't come, you can become discouraged about things. There are many things that can discourage. It might seem that the preaching of the gospel is no longer effective. I know of places where that they've stopped having gospel meetings because they think it doesn't do any good anymore. I preached at a congregation, I forgot how many years it was now. All the time I was there, they didn't want to have a gospel meeting. They didn't think that it did any good. The seeming ineffectiveness of the message being preached and the work, people not being interested, the church not seeming to grow. Many times Christians who are members of the church do not even support the various efforts that are put forth. And things could become discouraging. And you look around and you see, well, people die. You know, the older people are getting older. They die. What is there to look forward to in life? On a personal level and in the Lord's body as well. But the Apostle Paul here talks about a victory. That there is victory for each and every one of us. You know, death is certain. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that comes the the judgment. There's suffering and hardship and difficulties in life are certain. They are going to come. Satan is in opposition to us at every turn. He tries to discourage people. He tries to, as we talked about this morning, disseminate misinformation. But there is a victory. Notice some of the things that he says here. Verse 57 and 58. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory. God is the one who has guaranteed the victory to us. The victory is not that we're going to have over death and over this world and all the suffering herein. Is not given to us upon the word of some man or by some person who's deranged in mind. But the victory is assured to us by God himself. God who created all things, who has power over all things, who raises the dead, who raised the Lord Jesus Christ, who upholds all things by the power of his word, who keeps the sun in place and the earth going around it and the moon in place, who keeps us alive, who gives us each breath that we take. He is the one who has given us the victory. This is the one who has planned for our eternal salvation. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, the Apostle Paul says there, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to the adoptions of sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. This God who guarantees us the victory over all things is the one who planned for our salvation before the world began, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing, who chose, marked out ahead of time, plan that through Jesus Christ we should be saved from our sins. Having predestined us, that means to mark out, determined it beforehand, that we would be adopted as sons by Jesus Christ. This is the one who assures us the victory. And notice that text says that it gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's through Jesus Christ who made all things. John, the Gospel of John, in the very first verses of the very first chapter, speaks about the fact that at how that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that hath been made. And this Word he's talking about is Jesus Christ, on down to verse number 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So the victory is given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ, who has the power to create all things and who upholds all things by the power of His Word. Look at the first chapter of Hebrews, chapter 1. The first three verses. God, who at various times and different ways spake in times past unto the fathers, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things. First, He's the heir. It's through Jesus Christ. He's the heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the power of His Word, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. This victory is given to us through Jesus Christ, the heir of all things, the one who upholds all things. It is His Word that keeps the moon and the sun and the stars and this earth in place, who upholds the seasons upon our earth, who upholds the life of each and every one of us, the power of His Word. And now He's seated at the right hand of God. This victory then is assured to us through God and through Jesus Christ our Lord. And remember what He said right before He went back to heaven? Before He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Right before that, He said, all authority or all power in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. He rules over all. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 speaks about how that God hath put all things under His feet. Ephesians chapter 1 also speaks about this. Made Him to be head over all things to the church. He's the head of all things. All things are in subjection under Him. 1 Corinthians 15 speaks about there's only one that's accepted that's not under Him, and that's God the Father, of course. But He rules, and He demonstrated His power over all things. He spoke, and the waves ceased, didn't they? He had power over the waves of the sea. He turned the water into wine. He has power over all of the physical things upon this earth. He raised the dead. He spoke and it came to be. He cast out evil spirits. He has power over all. So God gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not dependent upon man. God's not a man that He should fail. He's not going to sin. He's not going to change His mind. His promise is certain. God gives us the victory. But now let's notice this victory. What victory is He talking about in the context here of 1 Corinthians chapter 15? Well, the victory that He's talking about is the victory, as He says there, over death and over the grave. Death is certain, as we said. We cannot escape it. But He says, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The grave will not rule over the Christian. Death will not have the final, last victory. It might remove us from this earth and from this existence here, but death and the grave will not have the final victory over mankind. Death will be swallowed up in victory. You remember Peter said in 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 5, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to His abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith, for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last day. The victory is given to us. We have a living hope. because Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. We also can be raised from the dead. And that hope is for an inheritance in heaven, an incorruptible inheritance that's reserved, that fades not away, imperishable. It's reserved, he says, for us in heaven. And at the same time as that is reserved for us, he says, we are kept by the power of God. Through faith, it's based upon our faith, for that salvation is ready to be revealed at the last day. The victory will be ours. There's no need to become discouraged or despondent or to become depressed or anxious. Jesus has assured us that the victory is ours. He came to this world to give us the victory over Satan. Who's our enemy? Who's the one who would destroy all things, that would take life from us, that would cause us to suffer? It's Satan, isn't it? But that's the very purpose that Jesus came. Hebrews 2, verse 14 and 15 says, inasmuch as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, talking about Jesus Christ, that he likewise partook of the same nature. He became flesh and blood, that he through death might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and thus deliver us who through the fear of death were all of our lifetime subject to bondage. Man subject to bondage. Man, without Christ, man lives in fear of death, because death comes and it ends it all. All of his hopes, all of his aspirations come to an end as death comes and in the grave. What does he have to look forward to? What future does he have without Jesus Christ? But in Jesus Christ, we have the victory, because he gained the victory over Satan. He entered into the strong man's house. Over in Matthew chapter 12, particularly verses 25 and 26, they were accusing Jesus of casting out devils by the power of Satan himself. And he says, how can that be? His house, if I'm casting out devils by the power of Satan, then Satan's house is divided against himself, and the kingdom divided and the nation divided against itself can't stand. He's working against himself. He says, but if I've cast out devils by the power of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. And then he talks about entering into the strong man's house. Talk about Satan. He's working against Satan. He says, I'm going to enter into his house, bind the strong man, and then destroy his goods. And that's what Jesus Christ did. He entered into death, into the power that was under the control of Satan. He came forth victorious over death, over Satan. And now he gives the victory to us also. Our victory over death includes victory over Satan. It includes victory over sin. He says there, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is law, is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory. And so sin no longer rules over us, Romans 6 and verse number 12. We also have victory over the world. 1 John 5 and verse number 4, John says, whosoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. What a wonderful victory that we have in through Jesus Christ. What does the Christian need to fear then? What is there in life you need to be afraid of? Death's coming. You know, we all know that ahead of time. Hardship, suffering, persecution, it's all coming. But because God gives us the victory over it all through Jesus Christ, there's nothing we need to be afraid of. Why do we need to worry about anything? Do we need to be anxious about anything? Paul says, in nothing be anxious, Philippians 4, verse 6. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now the victory is ours. And because God gives us the victory, we have great hope. Now what does he say as a result of that we should do? Therefore, verse 58, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, inasmuch as you know that your labor in the Lord's not in vain. It's not going to be in vain. You're going to gain the victory. The victory is yours. The victory is mine. So we have great hope. We can be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. And this always abounding, unmovable, is talking about persevering, enduring, keeping on, no matter what happens to us. Look at Joseph, who was despised by his brothers. They were jealous of him. They made life miserable while he was at home. And finally, they sell him into slavery. Here was a man that if anybody had a right to become discouraged and disheartened and to give up and think, what's the use of living? My own family hates me. And now I've been sold to be a slave for somebody else. And there, while he was a slave, his master's wife makes advances at him. And he resists her and doesn't fall to this temptation. He ends up in prison for that. You know, he could have thought, well, guess I should have went along with it. You know, then maybe I'd been better off. But in spite of all of this, he was faithful to God. And he said to this woman, he says, how can I commit this great sin and sin against my God? He knew the victory was his. He knew who he was trusting in. And it didn't matter what came his way, what persecution or problems or difficulties, he remained faithful to God because he was looking to the victory. Look at Job. What kept Job going through all of the tests that Satan threw at him? His faith in God, wasn't it? He knew that through God, he was going to win. And whether God sent life or death, it didn't matter because he had the victory because he trusted in God. We need to keep on. He says, be steadfast. Stay in there. Be unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's the thing we're supposed to keep on doing. The work of the Lord. The effort that we need to keep on putting forth. We need to keep engaged in that work that is of the Lord. The work he came to do when he came to this earth. It was to seek and to save the lost. Look, he said so in Luke 19 and verse 10. He'd come to seek and save that which was lost. If we're going to be engaged in his work, we're going to be engaged in the same thing. People are lost all about us. We should want everybody to have the same victory that we have in Jesus Christ. That victory can be theirs also. And he wants us to continue seeking to save the lost in his work. So he says, be steadfast and immovable in the work of the Lord. It's God that gives the victory. You know, the gaining of the victory here you know, sometimes we go through Christian life and we look at our own selves, our own talents, our own abilities, and we think, can I be saved? What hope do I have? I'm not the one that provides the victory. The victory's not based upon your strength or your talent or your good looks or my good looks, and thank the Lord for that, right? It's not based upon anything physical about us. The victory is given to us by God, not our righteousness, not our power. The victory is given to us by Jesus Christ. You know, when I was studying and reading this, I've been meditating upon it this week, I was reminded of a passage. Let me share this with you here, back over in the book of Joshua. In Joshua chapter 6, you remember what the first city was that the children of Israel took when they come into the promised land? First city that they took, city of Jericho, you remember? Something was different about the conquering of the city of Jericho. Chapter 5, actually let's begin in chapter 5 here. Begin reading with me in chapter 5, beginning verse number 13. It came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. Joshua went to him and said, are you for us or for our adversaries? Now Joshua said, who are you? Are you friend or foe? You know. And he said to him, no, but as commander Now, the King James reads a little different there. It says something about the captain of the host, I believe the King James says there. This one, the captain of the host would have been the commander of the army. That's who it would have been. The New King James puts it in that language. It says, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Who is this man that Joshua meets with his sword drawn? Joshua wants to know, who are you? He says, I am the commander of all of the Lord's armies. An angel? Maybe so. But he says, I am the commander of the Lord's armies. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy. Maybe this is God himself, or maybe it's the Jesus Christ appearing to him. I don't know. But you know, remember Moses was told to do the same thing. Take his shoes off. The ground on which he stood was holy ground. And Joshua did so. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. And the Lord, the Lord said to Joshua, here we're told more about who this is, isn't it? The Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hands, its king and its mighty men of valor. Now, you notice the terminology there? He says, I have given you Jericho. Here's the commander of the Lord's army. The battle's already been fought. And here the commander says, it's yours. I have given it to you. Past tense. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go around the city once and take you. This do 6 days, and seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. Then it shall come to pass, when you make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. And then, the wall of the city will fall down, and the people shall go up every man straight before him. You see the commanders there, the battle's been fought. He says, I have given it to you. Now you go do this. God is saying to us, the victory is ours. It's through Jesus Christ. God assures the victory through Jesus Christ. He has already fought the battle. He's already entered into Satan's stronghold. He has come forth victorious over it. Victory is assured. Victory is guaranteed to us, just like here in this case. There's no doubt about it. What we can have the resurrection from the dead. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You see, the fact that they did what God told them to do, go march around the city, was a demonstration of their belief in God's guarantee. Do we believe there's a resurrection from the dead? Do we believe the victory is ours, that we have victory over the world, over Satan, victory over sin, and victory over death? Do we believe that? Then be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's saying that we believe it. That's the demonstration that we know it's ours. It's when we engage in doubt or disbelief that we begin to falter and fail to be steadfast. The victory is ours. It's guaranteed. What a wonderful hope we have through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's like what he says right here, your labor in the Lord will not be in vain. The victory will be yours. They're marching around the city those 6 days, and on the seventh day was not in vain. Or as Paul said, we will reap if we faint not. Keep on. That's assured. No doubt about it. We're going to reap if we faint not. Success is guaranteed. Just like the taking of Jericho. Righteousness exalts a nation. That's a guarantee from God's word. Sin, however, is a reproach to any people. A guarantee about it. The nation of Israel found that out again and again. When they lived righteous lives, God was with them. They were blessed. When they went into sin, their enemies ruled over them. Took them captive. We will reap if we do not lose heart. James 5 and verse number 7, James says, look at the farmer. He says, be patient under the coming of the Lord. Remember the farmer. He waits for the early and the latter rains. He keeps on being steadfast. He keeps on being faithful. You know, the farmer, he's patient, waiting for that rain. He has all sorts of obstacles other than the rain. There's the weeds and the grass that grow. And if the weeds and the grass or the floods don't get his crop like it has this year, then there's the insects. I find down in my garden now, not only is it about to be flooded and washed away, but there's worms after my cabbage and other things too. You see, there's the insects. You got to fight them. There's fungus and mildew that's going to come. There's the cold and the heat's got to be just right. There's the threat of the hailstorm, the wind. All of those things are in opposition. The farmer has to be patient and endure. But the Lord has guaranteed that if we plant, we're going to reap, aren't we? That's the way things work. The Lord's guaranteed it. The Lord's given us a promise of a victory here over death, over sin, over all the efforts of Satan. But he says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Your labor in the Lord is not in vain. If you're not a Christian this night, where can you find a better guarantee than that? Where can you find a greater hope of overcoming all the obstacles of life where that you don't have to worry about them than to commit your soul to the trusting of one who rules heaven and earth, who has entered into a death and came forth victorious, the one who told John in Revelation 1 there, I am he that liveth. I was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of Hades and of death. What greater assurance can you have in life than the assurance that the Christian has in Christ? If you're not a Christian this night, you need that assurance. Outside of him, there's fear, there's worry, there's anxiety, destruction, eternal ruins. Don't let that be your final home. Don't let that be your life pattern. Be obedient to Christ this night if you're not in him. Or if you are a Christian, remember the victory is guaranteed. Be steadfast, immovable. Don't stop in the work of the Lord. Will you not come to the Lord's invitation as it extended now at this time? While we stand and sing, we invite you to come.
Will you come? Will you come? Will your poor broken heart, burdened in sin oppressed, lay it down at the feet of your Savior and Lord. Jesus will give you rest. Oh, happy rest, sweet happy rest. Jesus will give you rest. Oh, why won't you come in simple trusting faith? Jesus will give you rest. Will you come? Will you come? There is mercy for you, balm for your aching breast. Only come as you are and believe on his name. Jesus will give you rest. Oh, happy rest, sweet happy rest. Jesus will give you rest. Oh, why won't you come in simple trusting faith? Jesus will give you rest. Will you come? Will you come? How he pleads with you now. Fly to his love being breast, and whatever your sin or your sorrow may be, Jesus will give you rest. Oh, happy rest, sweet happy rest. Jesus will give you rest. Oh, why won't you come in simple trusting faith? Jesus will give you rest.
Please pass your attendance card to the center aisle. Let's turn to page 665 after seeing the first and last verse. Brother Jim Davis will dismiss us.
Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long. Oh yes, he cares, I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? And my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks. It is all to him does he see. Oh yes, he cares, I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long night's dreary, I know my Savior cares.
Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your Son, Jesus, and for all that we have through Jesus. Pray, Heavenly Father, we pray thanks to you, Heavenly Father, for the preachers and the elders and the deacons. Pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd guide them always to do and say the right things by you. Heavenly Father, we're always prayerful for those that are sick and those that are suffering in some way. Pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd always continue to heal and comfort them like you know best. Heavenly Father, we're mindful of your great power. Pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd forgive us when we try to limit your power. Pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd give us all the opportunities and that we'd take advantage of those opportunities to spread your inspired word. We're so very blessed through your word, Heavenly Father. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. We pray that you'll forgive us all of our many sins and go with us through the remainder of the week and help us to do right by you and to guide us to do right by you, Heavenly Father. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.